Today on Real Radio.
There are some people who will just go to a church because they get goosebumps and, oh, it just makes me feel so good. There are people who walk out of a church and say, you know what? I didn't feel anything. Did you learn anything? Yeah, I learned a lot, but I didn't feel the goosebump thing. And then there are people who are into goosebump things, and you ask them to take you to John 3:16, they don't know where it is.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
God gives the gifts that we might operate as the New Testament church ought to, so that we might effectively fulfill the calling that God has placed upon our lives as a church. We are actually, this is a scary thought, we are actually Jesus' hands and his feet and his eyes at this time until he comes again. When people look at the church, they're to look at the church and say, my, aren't they loving? My question is, do they? When people look at the church, they should say, they're so giving. Are we? Am I? When people look at the church, do they get a picture of Jesus Christ? Now, in the natural, no, that's impossible. But by the Holy Spirit, it is possible. There's a way that when a person is immersed in their relationship with God, that you can experience the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's no works connected to that. It's just an existence where God becomes such a reality that you just walk with Him, as Enoch did. He walked with God, as Abraham walked with God. And there comes what I think is the fulfillment when God says in the Word, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God is jealous, he says of himself. And you might say, well, that's a negative thing. How can God be that way? Well, it's a jealousy in a godly way. God doesn't want to share your attention with anybody. He wants you. And I tell you, the moment you turn your heart to him, the Lord will separate you from the world, so to speak. Though you'll be in the world, you will not be of the world. But he'll pull you off to the side. And God will spend time with you. Why? Because you've intended it. You've purposed it in your heart that you're going to spend time with him. God is so jealous of you. He loves you so much. He's possessive of you. He doesn't want you scurried about by all kinds of other things that pull you away from time with him. And if you're a believer tonight, you know that every day you get up and God is pulling on your heart. If you don't have that pulling, then something's wrong and you need to meet Jesus personally. But if you know him personally, he's constantly, isn't he? Constantly telling you, put down that thing and come talk to me. You can be out doing something. Now, we had a mini vacation the other day. We left Sunday right after service and went to the river. We love to play in the river. And we were out there, and last night we were there, and I just had a religious experience. I mean, I got to tell you, we were there to have fun, to goof off. But, you know, to be honest with you, I had my Bible with me, and I never got to my Bible. We were getting up so early and getting in so late that I didn't get to my Bible. So out there, I was just thinking about the Lord and talking to him and just having an awesome time. And on one of the evenings, I don't know if it was Sunday night or Monday night, but we went out in the desert, out in the nowhere, and turned the car off and laid on top of the car and watched the stars do their thing. And you know what? Out of the mouths of everyone just sitting out there was, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And a meteor would go across the sky. Oh, praise the Lord. And last night in the water, I mean, we stayed out there until, well, we couldn't see getting the boat back. This guy that had the boat, we were skiing behind this guy's boat, and we were out there, and it got so dark, and we were out there having so much fun, and we were just yelling and praising the Lord. There's just that neatness where you can look at the creation of God and not go, oh, praise these mountains, praise the water. It's the Lord. And if He's included in our lives, He's going to magnify His presence. And there's a sweetness to it. And God wants to do that in our lives as a church. And God will do that. And He is doing that in the area of the giftings. Everyone, as we've mentioned, has a gift. And we need to be a body that is in tune with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we're going to be talking about this interesting gift of miracles and what it all means. And I want you to think about this for a moment. I wrote down today in preparing this and thinking about this, about body language. And a person can be saying a lot of things with their mouth and have a whole different body language. Communicators say that your body language says a lot of things. How you move your body. You can say one thing and move your body and be saying something different. And in the church, body language is everything. How this body ministers to itself and to the community says it all. We can talk about love. We can talk about, listen, miracles. But are we really being used by God in the area of the miraculous? Now, listen. My kids, like your kids, or like me, or like you, have said, how come we don't see more miracles? My kids have said, Dad, how come we don't see more miracles? Well, they're happening. How come we don't see them? Well, we have our Bibles. Read your Bible. God wants you to have faith in Him. But there's miracles happening all around the world. We've had some happen here. But there's people having miracles, miraculous experiences worldwide, mainly, as we'll see tonight, in areas where the Word is not so prevalent. There are great miracles taking place. For some reason, people think there are no miracles being done anymore because they don't see them. So they don't exist. And that's not true. There are miracles taking place that are exactly as it was in the book of Acts, that you hear reports out of China or out of Africa or places like that where there are people being raised from the dead. And these things supposedly are documented. I know Alan Cecil, the missionaries that we sponsor from this church in China, they have seen radical miracles there in inland China. And, you know, how do you explain that? Well, God is all-powerful, for one thing. But He's at work within His body. Jot this down, please, if you would. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, by this we know that we have love because He, or excuse me, by this we know love because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Body language. And you might say, what does this have to do with miracles? I think it has everything to do with it. We can sit here as a church and fall asleep in our seats or in our pews, or we can get outside of this place and reach out and see God work through us, or we can actually reach in and see God work among us if we minister one to another. Now, the listing of the gifts primarily are for the ministry of the body. But this miracle gift that we're going to be looking at tonight goes both inside and outside the body of Christ, and we'll see this. But the beautiful thing is, what kind of a church are we going to be in this area? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that God can do them? You might say, well, yes, I do. But have you ever seen one? No. Well, listen, you're in a good place. Most Christians, from what we understand, have never seen miracles happen that they recognize. But let me ask you right now by a show of hands, how many of you have seen at least one person come to Jesus Christ in your Christian life? Raise your hand if you would. Wow, look around. Look at that. That's awesome. That's an incredible miracle. In fact, I think by the time we come to end here tonight, you're going to see that it's the greatest miracle of all. We may not place such a high stake on it, but listen, when one sinner repents and comes to Christ, That's the only thing I see in the Bible where angels party in heaven over. It says that they party in heaven. They rejoice. And they have a blast over that. And I like that. But the beautiful thing for us to realize tonight is that we need to be a loving church moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's God's desire that we do that. And we need to remember this. The Bible says in Revelation 5:10 that He has made us kings and priests to our God, and we in the future shall reign with God. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That is, our citizenship is in heaven, and eventually in the future fulfillment, we will be kings and priests reigning with Christ. Isn't that a tremendous thought? Well, we are of the body of Christ. Our politics, as Philippians talks about, our citizenship is in heaven. And we can act and move and be like it now. We can have that mission on earth of being a loving people, of actually following a God who is a God of miracles and being used by Him in that area. And I want to do that as a believer. I want to be like that, and so do you. As we get into this, I want to announce this, though, right up front, that there's a danger, I think, that exists with anything that happens in the supernatural. People will flock to it and run to it, and sometimes even embrace it and worship it when it comes to the supernatural. There are some people who will just go to a church because they get goosebumps, and, oh, it just makes me feel so good. There are people who walk out of a church and say, you know what, I didn't feel anything. Did you learn anything? Yeah, I learned a lot. But I didn't feel the goosebump thing. And then there are people who are into goosebump things, and you ask them to take you to John 3:16, they don't know where it is. So there's a danger with the pursuit of gifts, especially the miraculous. Anything that is not normal, we have the tendency to go after and to almost enshrine. Remember the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness? And God says, make a brazen serpent out of brass, it looks like a snake. It's where the physicians, by the way, got their, whatever that thing's called, their little sign. And Moses, raise up the stick with the snake on the top and tell the people, whoever looks at the snake, they'll be cured of the poisonous snake bites that they received in the wilderness as judgment, by the way. They had sinned. And God sent fiery, mean serpents after these people. But God said, listen, look to the brazen serpent up on this pole and you'll be saved. So what would you do if you got bit by a snake? Wouldn't you look on the pole? Some people just wouldn't look. I'm not going to look. Can you imagine? Just look, will you? You ever felt like that with somebody? Just listen. Jesus loves you. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. And they don't want it. And you feel like grabbing their ears and just... Now, you may not feel like that. I feel like that a lot. Just look and you'll be saved. You know what happens? Some people look, some don't. Some live, some die. But the guys who lived, if you keep reading there in Numbers, you know what they wind up doing? They bring the serpent down from the pole and they begin to worship it as their god. How stupid. And we sit there and go, man, that's so dumb. And the same heart that lives in them lives in us. We will follow and pursue things to our own destruction, even if it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We can become so focused and so lopsided on something that we lose the perspective and the balance. Very dangerous. The Ark of the Covenant. They did the same thing with the Ark. Gee, we're really having a terrible time at war. Let's take it to battle with us. That Ark was created for God to dwell over. But instead of trusting in the God of heaven who dwelt above the ark, they took the ark into battle and got shot. And they lost the war. Why? They trusted in the idol, in the thing, rather than God himself. And that's always a dangerous thing. So even as we look at this, you might be saying, oh man, I want to have this gift of miracles. Well, why? Well, so I can... No. Remember, so you and I, like John the Baptist, can decrease so he can increase. That's why. Oh, man, if I was just in the ministry, oh, boy, I could just change the world. I could just, I could stumble and fall. No, let the Lord lead you and guide you in that. Listen to this. I had to write this down because of the stars that we saw the other night. It was incredible. I thought, how many, as some of you know, in America, the Native Americans, so many of them worship the gods of the environments, you know. The God of the heavens, the God of the stars, the God of the river, the God of the sky, the clouds, the rain, the this and that. And they had all their various gods. And when something happened or didn't happen, the God that they worshipped for that particular thing was either angry or he was appeased. And it was a constant roller coaster relationship with the pagan gods of peoples who don't know the true and living God. And I wrote down three verses that I just love. In Psalm 97:6, it says, "The heavens declare their righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all them be put to shame who serve carved idols, who boast of idols. Worship God, all you gods," and it's a little g, "all you judges," those who make decisions. The God of the heavens is the God that we worship. He's the miracle God. Psalm 50, verse 6, "Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is the judge." And of course, you know Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge." Knowledge of what? Of whom? God. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." And so for the Christian tonight, that's maybe all of us, we need to start getting in the mindset that the supernatural shouldn't be so shocking to us. We're Christians. Our God is spinning Jupiter. Tonight when you leave, look over here on the southwestern sky. And you'll see Mars. You'll see it. It's kind of reddish, amber looking. You'll see it. He's holding it up there. Colossians says that it's all held by his word. It's just there. It's incredible. It's a miracle. The scientific community cannot explain it. Everything holding together. You know, it's an absolute miracle that's taking place right now. We are spinning at thousands of miles an hour, and in 24 hours we'll have made a circuit, but yet the sun, the moon, Earth, Jupiter, Venus, Pluto, all of it out there, all of it is moving. And it is moving, all of it is moving on a track. So think of take a swimming pool, put on the back of an 18-wheeler. And somebody's swimming in the pool, playing and throwing the ball back and forth and all that stuff. And everything's moving. And as you back away from that pool, you see that you're on an 18-wheeler going down the freeway. In 24 hours, our entire system will have traveled 1,000,000 miles from the point we're at right now in space. Right now. 1,000,000 miles it's going to be, will have moved in its movements from this spot right now. And God says, "I hold it all in the span of my hand. From one end to the other, it's all in my hand." What an awesome God we have. So you see, for the Christian, the miracle shouldn't be such a supernatural thing. For the Christian, the miracle should be a common thing. Because our God can handle anything. He's that kind of a God. First thing we want to note tonight in our study, the description of the gift. He says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12, "To another, the working of miracles." The word miracle here is an interesting word that you know already. It's the word dunamis, power. You recognize that from Acts chapter 1. "You shall receive power." It's the same word, miracle. Superpower, superforce. It means to be gifted with miraculous abilities or wonder-working power. Remember that hymn, "Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb"? The old hymn goes, "Wonder-working power." God gives, even in this day and age, and I got news for you, He has not only been given it for the last 2,000 years, it's going to get more prevalent as the days approach, where God is going to be pouring this gift and other gifts out upon His church and upon His people Israel. Later on. But the gift is for today. In fact, I want you to jot this down. Don't ever forget this. Love never fails, says 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail futuristically. They're going to stop. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Someday, tongues will cease. The gift of tongues is what he's referring to. Whether there is knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Listen, love has not failed. It's never going to fail. Prophecies have not stopped. Tongues have not ceased. Nor has knowledge vanished away. I don't think it has. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part, or that which is in part shall be done away. And that is a direct reference to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it's nestled right in there in 1 Corinthians 13. There will come a day when no gifts will be needed again, except one, which is not a gift actually, and that is love. Love will abide. We won't need anything else. But the gifts of the Spirit are working today. Well, I haven't seen them. Well, I haven't seen all of them either. But according to the Bible and theology here out of the Scripture, they're working today. And by the way, we've been promised this power. In John chapter 14, verse 12, I love this verse. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you," and I like when he says, "I say to you," it's like us. When I say to you, "Hey, it's us here," 2,000 years later, it's us. "I say to you, he who believes in me," do you? "The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." That's in reference to the sending of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, "I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." I personally believe that what he was saying in John 14, 12 was that we would have the ability and the gifting to evangelize the world. I do believe it. I personally believe that because of Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority.'" Why? Well, that was 2,000 years ago. They had a lot of work to do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called United in the Gifts, it's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Well, coming up in February here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is the annual Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and Pastor Jack is here in studio to let us know that there's been a major development.
Mike, that's right. It is a bulletin. It is a news flash, and let me tell you why. Up until now, we've been announcing that our prophecy conference would be having a charge of $50 per person, and that's to cover cost and to bring all these incredible speakers in from across the U.S. But listen, we've prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel. And in light of all that's going on around the world, in light of the financial crisis, in light of what's going on in the Middle East, terrorism, we've deleted that cost. We want as many people in this building as possible to hear what these great speakers are going to have to say. I know it's a risk, but you know what? For us, it's better to have people hear the word and delete the fee. So mark your calendars, everyone. You can find out more information by going to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com for what is now the Southern California Prophecy Conference, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and it is free. So we look forward to seeing you here. In fact, listen to this. The subtitle of the conference is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. How fitting is that? God bless you. We'll see you right here.
Okay, so again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free if you'd like for more information, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.